Oh, hello, universe.
Now boarding first class, small children, and fat guys.
Each of these cards contains a detailed scenario of a possible apocalyptic event.
We are preparing to orbit the planet.
That's
this
right.
is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. And it is a mad world, and we're talking about dreams. And I think anything dreams, anything goes tonight when we're talking with Kelly Sullivan Walden, who is my guest. All things dreams. We're analyzing dreams this hour. So if you have a reoccurring dream, or you have, are you having nightmares, or you want to know what it means when you're, you know, you're dreaming about cheating on a significant other, or you're, you know, with someone, or some sexual thing, or whatever it may be. If you want an analyzed, 808-0810 is the number. And thank you for joining me once again, Kelly. I appreciate it.
Such a pleasure. It's a dream come true. I love it.
You know what?
Last time I was with you, I was in person.
I know, and it was fantastic. So the next time you're back here in San Francisco, you're in Los Angeles, I do believe. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Do come join us. All right, 808-0810 is the number, and everybody's dreaming about the lotto. You know, who doesn't want to win the $800 million?
Could you imagine? Yeah. Wow. I know. I bet you there's some psychics that are dreaming on the numbers right now. Or did you buy a ticket?
For sure. Yeah, I threw my $10 down. Yes, I've been following it now for several weeks, but I didn't wait for the madness of the mad world. I knew, you know, when it was drawn Wednesday, that Thursday, Yes, it was Wednesday. So Thursday morning, yeah, I went and I got my ticket. Yeah.
Wow. So it's cut off, so I'm too late?
No, you have until an hour before it's drawn tomorrow night. Yes.
Okay.
To get your $800 million. All right.
I'm going to go do it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. And now, you know, you're right. So there are people who are, there are psychics who are trying to come up with, you analyze dreams, but you don't call yourself a psychic. So,
correct.
So how do you feel about these people who are, because let's face it, if anybody could really come up with those numbers, they'd be doing it all the time.
That's very, very true. I think there are people that have the ability to do remote viewing and that they can tap in, and some people do. And I don't know that it's that consistent. I think there's some people that have. I know there's a woman that I actually wrote about in my book, It's All in Your Dreams, who she just had a really strong feeling that came from her dream, and it happened to be her birthday, and it was the same day that Michael Jackson's death. I think it was, and she was really connected with him. So she used those birth numbers and some combination, and she won. So, you know, sometimes it happens, but it's not like it's going to happen every day or every week. I think it's a once in a lifetime thing that when it does happen. But if you do have that feeling, if you do build your intuition muscles, and one way you can do that is by paying attention to dreams, then you're more apt to catch that information when it comes to call.
All right. Speaking of calls, let's take a few. TJ in Brentwood, good evening. You're on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Hey, good evening. Thanks for having me on. So I've been having a reoccurring dream. It's been going on for about 10 years now. Usually when the dream happens, a little more of the chapter comes out, and it would be a great movie, unfortunately. It's just I just can't seem to break away from it. It's typically, unfortunately, it's like the end of the earth is coming. Lots of, like, fireballs.
So it's the apocalyptic thing, yes. Okay.
You can feel the heat in the dream. You can feel the rumble. And it's typically, I'm usually running with my family, trying to find a safe haven to... So unfortunately, we don't die. But it's been going on for many, many years, and I just can't seem to shake it. But it doesn't scare me. But I would like it to end.
Right, I would think after 10 years, for sure. Okay, let's let her answer.
Right. Well, I can't imagine that it doesn't scare you. I'm imagining that there's a lot of being on the edge. There's a few different ways to look at this dream, and I know a lot of people have these dreams, and especially people that are paying a lot of attention to the news. Are you one of those people? Do you watch any movies, TV shows?
Hit and miss. I mean, hit and miss with the news. Sometimes I'll watch it, and sometimes I'll give it a break for a week.
Mm-hmm. And TV and things like that are action-packed and save the world.
Well, that's interesting. So, I mean, you know, I think where she's going there are, do you like the crime stories, the NCIS stories? Do you watch, you know, for instance, I don't watch anything violent, but do you watch those shows? I mean, there's a lot of people who enjoy them.
I do. Okay, I mean, right. I love all of that kind of stuff.
That could be a tell, yeah.
Any real, like, history stuff. I really love that kind of stuff. And it's weird. Like, I can go 6 months without this dream happening, and then sometimes I'll get it twice in 1 week, and a little more of the story unfolds. It's a little more like another episode has happened, and it's I would love to know where it's going to end up, but...
Right.
Well,
since it's apocalyptic, let's hope that your dream doesn't come true. All right.
Exactly. Yes. Well, part of it can be triggered by the things that you're watching, the things that you read about, the things that you're interested in, that you have a passion in. A lot of times those things will inform our dreams. And yet at the same time, it's not the only factor. When I look at dreams from a symbolic perspective, and I think, okay, if I'm having dreams about the world ending, it's what part of my world may be coming to an end. Like sometimes the end of a chapter, the end of a phase in your life, the end of some kind of a time in your life. Maybe, you know, your kids are going from puberty into adulthood or kindergarten, they're graduating, or there's something that you're afraid of. And the positive aspect of nightmares is, and there's been all kinds of studies done on this, is that they help us become more adaptive to life. So even though they're unpleasant, in many ways, it's like you're having this rehearsal. Should the worst case scenario actually come to pass, you will have already practiced it many times. So you're a couple steps ahead of the game.
And Kelly, not to interrupt, but I was going to ask, since it's reoccurring and he recognizes it and it keeps coming on, do you think it could be the anxiety dream? Because we all know what the go-to anxiety dream is.
Absolutely. And sometimes anxiety in your life will trigger anxiety dreams. And if you, so there's definitely a correlation. And often what we repress by day or what we haven't completely sorted out by day, it gets expressed by night, and it gets expressed in vivid technicolor so that we have to deal with it, so that we can move the energy out. If it's recurring, that means that there's two things. It means that either you've gotten stuck in a loop and things need to be kind of unclogged or shifted around so that you can move things out, or it means that you haven't resolved the issue that this dream is helping you to resolve. So one way to be able to expedite that is to imagine that you right now, and you can maybe do this as an exercise when you get off the phone with us, is imagine that you're suddenly lucid in this dream and you're aware that you're dreaming while you're dreaming. And when you become lucid in a dream, that means that you become aware that, wow, I'm not just a victim here. I can fly. I can pick my family up and I can move them somewhere else. Or I can talk to the storm or talk to whatever's happening and I could shrink it. I've got magic powers in a dream. So how would you cope with this dream if you became awake in the dream? How would you resolve it so that you end up on top? So to me, a nightmare is an unfinished dream. The dream isn't over until you are powerful.
Okay.
So how would you complete that?
All right. Thank you very much, TJ. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Kelly Sullivan Walden. And you can check her website out at kellysullivanwalden.com. Or you can join us at Generation Drex on Twitter, DREX, or at KGO Radio on Facebook if you have any questions or comments. And you can simply call us if you want us to analyze your dream at 808-0810. When we come back with Kelly, we'll talk about, you know, can you perhaps share your dreams with your partners to enhance your relationship? And, you know, so just straight out, why are some dreams so crazy and so strange? And we'll do some dream recall and we'll discuss. Okay, so don't go away. We'll continue in just a few minutes on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. We're talking about dreams tonight on the Drex Radio Show. Good evening. Thank you for joining me. Kelly Sullivan Walden is our Drexpert on dreams, and her book is The Love, Sex, and Relationship Dream Dictionary. It's a must-have. So anything that has to do with dreams, she can answer your questions. 808-0810, and I immediately want to go back to the phones because we've got a lot of people that want to talk to Kelly. So let's go to, let's see, Sue in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for holding your on KGO.
Hi. I just wanted to ask Kelly about, I've had dreams, a series of prophetic dreams where I found breast cancer. And I just had a series again, and I now have it 21 years later. And I really believe in dreams and honing in on, I'm sort of able to, you were speaking of nightmares, and you probably, or maybe you're going to talk about this. Sometimes when I'm really frightened, I'm able to go in the dream and turn it around.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's always a creativity exercise. If we have precognitive dreams, actually there's a dear friend of mine, Kathleen O'Keefe Canavis, and also there's Wanda Birch. These are women that had many precognitive dreams that forecasted their breast cancer, and they in fact had cancer and got cancer, even though they had a clean bill of health. And because they were able to get this this kind of
The message.
Yeah, they got the message beforehand. They were able to do something about it. So I don't think we're given the message ahead of time just to torture ourselves. I think we're given it
right, so
that we can then do something with it, so that we can get creative and open up to what a solution is. And like in Wanda Birch's case, in her dream, she was shown how to heal in the dream her breast cancer. She was shown how to rinse out this cup and kind of rinse the cancer down this drain and through this cocktail of different things that she was doing to take care of herself. And she woke up the next day, went to the doctor, and her cancer was gone. So I think it's a matter of getting creative with the way that you think about how you would redirect the dream, and also with the fact that you're having a precognitive dream means that you're seeing it in advance for a reason, not just to torture yourself, but so that you
know. Right. I mean, it literally saved my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible because it's so specific.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, they weren't specific, as you know, dreams aren't, but they led me to go, fuck, I'm having these. And the first series were 21 years ago, and my sister died of breast cancer 4 years before the dream, and she was in them, my dead aunt, and I had never done a self-breast exam, and I don't know why I did it, and there I felt the cancer. And then just earlier this year, now I have cancer again. And that's what I'm thinking about is, you know, I'm supposed to have surgery. I just don't want to go the route that I went last time. But
right.
I so believe in dreams, and that's why I wanted to call.
Well, I appreciate you checking in, Sue. And one thing that you can do, and for anybody who's dealing with anything similar, you can meditate before you go to sleep and kind of ask for a dream that's helpful about how to cope or how to heal or how to, you know, what you can do to put yourself in the best position possible to be able to handle this. And if you pay attention to your dreams, often you'll get a message or something will happen in the dream that can shift things. So if you're already paying attention, I'm so happy to hear that. And I wish you the very best with how things go. And I really do hope that you have the best situation possible.
Thank you very much, Sue. Yes. Kelly Sullivan Walden is our expert on dreams. So if you have any questions about your dreams, what they mean, if you want them to, we'll take a look, analyze them, you know, questions, 808-0810 is the number. Let's go to Jeannie in Santa Clara. You're on KGO 810.
Hi, it's Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. So, right about 5 years old, I had this dream, kind of like an organ grinder pulling out paper, and I had to cut it, and I couldn't keep cutting the paper. I knew I had to cut it, but it just kept going, and it just was, it was frustrating to me.
Okay,
so I think my dream was a frustrating dream.
Mm.
I, And but right around 5 years old, I had that. And right about 20 years old, that's when I realized I think it's a frustrating dream that I couldn't stop. I couldn't get the paper to cut.
Okay, well, so that's back to the anxiety, the stress issue of continual, yes.
Absolutely. So let's look at it symbolically. You know, often one way to look at a dream is from the perspective of your dreams are helping you to come to terms with your station in life, or coming to terms with your power, or feeling a lack of power. And when you're young and throughout our lives, there's things that we're powerless over. And there might have been something, if it were my dream and I was looking at it, I'd say there must have been something that I felt powerless to cut out or to cut off. And it could have been a behavior issue. It all of a sudden made me think of being a little kid, and I was a jokester and a prankster and used to play, and I was always told, cut it out, cut it out. And I was like, but I can't stop. I just want to keep playing. And I'd get in trouble. And so I'm wondering what it was in your waking reality that your dreams might have been alluding to that you couldn't stop, that you didn't have control over. Was it a personality aspect? Was it a behavior of somebody else in your life? And what is paper? What does paper represent to a kid, to you? Were you artistic? Was paper intimidating? Was it something that you wished you had more of? You know, if you could, in a word or two, what did paper represent to you when you were five?
Oh, now wait a second here. I've got, let me see here.
Okay, it wasn't a paper issue. Are you there?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay, it wasn't a paper issue. My dad died prior to my birth, a couple of months prior. And I didn't have a complete family, I think. I think that's what it was.
So it's an association, it sounds like.
But it wasn't a paper, but I'm not quite sure. But when I was about 20, I thought, okay, it's a frustration thing. It's something that I didn't understand at that time. Now I'm 60, and I kind of come to terms with, okay, let it go.
Okay. All right.
Right. Because there's sometimes, I mean, as a little kid, you might imagine feeling that there's things churning out that are beyond your control. It's supposed to be, you're supposed to stop it, you're supposed to cut it out, and you can't, and you don't know how, you don't have the power to do that. And it's wonderful to revisit a dream like this, to kind of come full circle and be at peace with it. I would take it to the next level and say, you know, go back to that little five-year-old and have her complete the dream as a five-year-old might in a way that would be satisfying for her. Is there a stop button? Is there a way to sharpen the scissors and position her in such a way that she gets to cut things in the way that would have her be empowered? I always want to go back and finish those dreams because I feel like they leave little loose ends that are nice when they can be tied. They give us a sense of completion and fulfillment. So that would be my assignment for you.
All right. Thank you very much. Kelly Sullivan Walden is my guest. It's All Things Dreams. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, some techniques to enhance your dream recall so that you can, you know, have more productive dreams and make, you know, something substantive out of them. And also enhancing your own relationship. And if the relationship is not going so well, you know, what can you do about it? Can dreams help? We'll discuss coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Here we are, running circles around and round and round and round. When nothing's right, just close your eyes and you're gone. Dreams.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. Kelly Sullivan Walden, I'm sorry, is my guest. Kelly, thank you for joining me on this Friday night. I so appreciate it. We're talking about dreams, and, you know, we're getting, by the way, you can join us at Generation Drex, D-R-E-X, on Twitter. And a majority of them, when we talk about sexual issues or those kind of dreams, cheating keeps coming up. So repeatedly we're getting, what about I'm dreaming that my spouse is cheating?
Oh, yeah. This is a juicy topic. Okay, I've got a few things to say about this because I've had these dreams and I've been the victim of my partners having those dreams about me. And so most of the time, as I said to one of the first callers, most of the times our dreams are best to be looked at symbolically. So what does cheating symbolize? Everyone in your dream is you. So first of all, look at your dream that way. And you could ask yourself, where am I cheating on myself? Where am I not giving myself the benefit of the doubt? Where am I not taking good care of myself? Where have I left myself out of the equation? So consider that if your partner's cheating on you in your dream, that it's an aspect of you that is cheating on you, that maybe. Every once in a while, however, those dreams are literal. It's always good in every case to do the reality check where you think, well, did my partner go out last night? Were they late? Did they have lipstick on the collar? Was there any telltale signs that this could have actually happened? If they're devoted, if that wasn't the case at all, then don't get suspicious about it, because mostly dreams are to be looked at symbolically, and think that it may be you're going through an insecure patch yourself. It may be bringing up some issues where you're out of balance and that you need to become more of your own best friend and take better care of you. So that's one point of view. How does that land on you, Drex? Have you ever had any of those dreams?
Sure. So Kelly Sullivan-Walden, my guest, let me ask you, I mean, you want us to share our dreams with our partners. So obviously that's not one that I'd want to share, or do I?
Yeah, well, we want to get to the place where there's nothing that's taboo. Ideally, we'd be in a relationship that had a broad enough space that was loving and trusting and safe enough that we could share anything and it would be okay. And obviously, for some people, that's easier said than done. And sometimes you just have to tiptoe your way in that direction. There was a boyfriend of mine in the past that used to have recurring dreams that he was having sexual encounters with Selma Hayek, and I was like, this isn't helping me to feel more secure in a relationship.
Well, at least you know it's an okay thing to have. I mean, when you think about celebrity dreams, hey, why not? Because you know they're not doing it.
True, right. Except in that instance, I mean, I'm tall and blonde and relatively voluptuous, and she's kind of tiny and petite and brunette, and that's one thing I could never be is petite. I could be brunette if I dyed my hair, but I was like, God, I'll never be that.
Oh, you know what? You just stumbled into something great, Kelly. So we all have our sexual proclivities, right? So, I mean, you know, and our spouse always can't be that person in that perfect nature in our sexual mind and that being. Yeah. So, but that's okay, right? I mean, you know, that's what dreams are for.
Right. I mean, we're not only when we pick a partner, if we pick somebody that we want to make a life with, they're usually not the person that we are the most attracted to in the world. In fact, I heard someone say once that if you meet somebody and you are attracted to them on a scale of 1 to 10, a 10, you should run the other direction because the relationship will be disastrous.
Wow,
because
that's good.
If you're that attracted to somebody, you really can't expose your heart. You can't really be vulnerable because you're always trying to play the game of who's on top, so to speak.
Like, right. Well, it's infatuation is what it is. And, it kind of clouds, it would cloud your dreams, right?
Right. So it doesn't mean that you don't want to be attracted to your partner or your spouse or your long-term mate. Of course you do, but not necessarily on a scale of 1 to 10, a 10, maybe somewhere closer to an 8, or even a 7 is good, where your sexuality is a part of the relationship, but it's not the entirety of the relationship, or it's expected to be. I mean, there's a lot of things to deal with in life, a lot of things, like a partnership is great, having emotional compatibility and spiritual compatibility and support for each other's career and ambitions and visions and dreams and being able to go through things together, and so sexuality is part of it. So that means, by definition, that you may dream about the person that is your more ideal or somebody that represents that. And that's okay. Carl Jung talks about the anima and the animus. And I'm not saying enema. I'm saying anima. Is that clear?
Either it's Friday night. What the hell? Yeah.
What the hell? Right? You know, yes. Just have fun. No judgment. But basically, his perspective is whoever your ideal is, like that ideal person, they are an aspect of your own soul. They are the female, like if you're a man, it's the female aspect of your soul that is your own ideal. And you really are better off not having a relationship with that person. You're better off having a relationship with that aspect of yourself, developing, if you're a man, your own feminine qualities and embracing your own sensuality. And if you're a woman and you have this ideal tall, dark, handsome, studly hunk of a dream that that's your ideal person, then consider that that's an aspect of you to embrace, that you're strong, that you're capable, that you have swagger. And so, I mean, that might sound a little bit too airy-fairy for the show.
Good.
I don't know.
No,
but
not at all. I love it. And so we all know these people who, you know, and I love what you said, you know, don't be looking for the 10. But the interesting thing about that, Kelly, is we know these people, we see them, and you know, you said that don't go to the 10, don't run to the 10 because it's not going to work out. And you know, you see it and you think to yourself, that's not going to work out. Yeah.
Run, don't walk.
Right.
Yeah. I know that in the past, in relationships, when I would be dating somebody that was like a 10, I couldn't talk. I couldn't speak.
I know. Right.
I couldn't
just wanted
be myself
to get them in bed. Right.
It's like you're there just to make a baby. You're just there for the biological urge to, the imperative to mate, but there's no real relationship that you can have besides having sex.
Right. And you try to have a conversation with them when that doesn't happen. Yeah.
Right. You're like, don't speak. You put your finger on their lips. Just look pretty. Please just don't talk.
I love it. All right. Let's take another call. We actually go to Kelly to talk to Kelly Sullivan Walden in Palo Alto on KGO. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. I wanted to talk with you about my father. I had a dream about my father, and he passed away a number of years ago. And then a few years after he died, I dreamt about him. And I dreamt that he was holding me. And in the dream, I was a little like, okay, Dad, you can let me go now. And then when I woke up, I realized that it was, I don't know, it might have been my dad. So I was just wondering what you make of that.
Okay, good stuff. All right, I'll let her answer. Thank you very much for holding.
It makes me want to cry. It sounds beautiful. Were you, let me ask you, Kelly, I feel like I'm talking to the mirror. did you feel relieved? I mean, were you happy that you had that experience?
Unfortunately, she dropped.
Okay, all good. Well, I'll keep talking then. And I'll just say that these kind of dreams are amazing. They're such affirmations. I get to hear about so many of these dreams at this point, especially after writing Chicken Soup for the Soul, where there were so many important dreams that people had about departed loved ones that came to them in a dream that gave them the affirmation that they are still very much alive, even though on another plane, that the love doesn't end, that they're still connected. These are dreams to savor. These are dreams that can heal heartache. These are dreams that can give us the sense of our own, in some way, come to terms with our mortality, but then be aware that in some ways we are immortal. The soul lives on, and they're some of the beautiful, most wonderful gifts that we can ever get.
Okay, I've got to take a break, and we'll be back. So Kelly Sullivan Walden is our guest, and we're talking about all things dreams. What do they mean? What do they symbolize? More coming up. 808-0810 is the number to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. God, tell me it's not. It's Dokken from the 80s.
It is.
Dream Warriors. Thank you, Brian Pelletier from the KGO Newsroom.
Yeah.
Rock on, dude. All right, bring on the weekend. Have several for me since I can't have any. Kelly Sullivan Walden is my guest, and her latest book is The Love, Sex, and Relationship Dream Dictionary. And we have all this information up at KGOradio.com. It's just fascinating, so you will love it. Kelly, I'm gonna share something personally with you now.
I love you when you do that.
Okay, so And for those of you who don't know, you might know because you hear Pat Thurston on the air a lot filling in, and I thank her so much, and I so appreciate and love her for doing what she has done for me on this show. And this past summer, I had a horrible thing happen. I had a perforated duodenal, and this is one of these things in life that you don't ever think is going to happen to you. So basically, my small intestine disconnected from my stomach. I went into toxic shock, and I basically died. Okay, and the people at Alda Bates saved my life. Okay, so God bless them for that. But what I wanted to tell you is, Kelly, that I had the dream. So, and people picture it as seeing the light, and I'm supposed that the end of life dream is different for a lot of people, and a lot of people are curious as to what this is, but I had it. Okay, so let me explain to you what went down. So I'm in the ICU. And I'm not conscious that I'm dying, but I knew before I went into surgery that it was dire. and it was going to be sketchy. And it turns out that it was. So I did not see the light. It was not a spiritual thing. It was not a religious experience. What it was 3 years ago, my very best friend in the whole wide world dropped dead of a massive heart attack. Okay. Mm. And my grandfather, who I love dearly, passed away several years ago, too. And my aunt, who passed away several years ago, and all these people who I was very close to and I love, and Harry, God bless him, my best friend, was also friends with my grandfather. So in this dream, and where I was dying, and I found out that I was dying after I came to, what went on was hands. They were reaching out to me, okay? Mm-hmm. And it was, take my hand, it's okay. It was very calming. It was safe. All I had to do was take their hand. And it was a very, very peaceful, sincere, loving thing. And mm-hmm. and I just didn't take their hand. And I woke up.
Wow. Oh, Drex, that is beautiful. And I hope that you are left with feeling that when the time comes, hopefully it's 90 years from now, that when you're ready to take the hand, it'll be a gentle, beautiful experience, that there's nothing to fear on the other side. Were you left feeling affirmed and loved and connected with?
Yeah, it's a very strange thing. I know that they're there now. And, yeah. You know, and I have to say this. I think that one's life is supposed to be turned upside down when you hear a story like I just told you. Mm-hmm. I can't say that mine has yet, because I'm still going through the recovery stage of all of this.
Sure.
And I'm not sure what that is and how this will, you know, the rest of the story, so to speak. But yet it is an affirmation, and it's a confirmation that there is something more. So I'd like to share that with the audience, that, you know, and those people, if you're listening, you've gone through this, you know. And so I wonder if you get this, if you see the light, or what I just told you,
yeah.
You know, the reaching of the hands, just take my hand. I mean, but it was peaceful and loving. And I know that, I guess the biggest thing I got out of it is it's okay. I just remember in the dream that what seemed to go on for a long time, it's okay.
I think you've already won the lottery. I think this is the lottery. I think if you have this awareness, then in some ways it has to change you, because if you can, I mean, this place that you, I can just feel the energy of it when you talk about it. I feel like you tapped into a realm of not just love, but also wisdom, a place where the veil between worlds dissolved, and you were right there, and it was okay. I had a death experience in 2008 that was for a few minutes, there wasn't anything that I think what happened to you was more radical in terms of your body. What happened to me was very subtle on the body level, but energetically I kind of got to go into another realm and see what was going on behind the scenes. And I was like, wow, there's nothing to be afraid of. This is beautiful. What is all that drama about? It's all okay. It's really okay. And I think it at some point, once the dust settles and you integrate it, I think that it does change the way you see the things that would ordinarily scare you, or when somebody you know gets sick or passes away. It doesn't mean that we don't grieve. It doesn't mean that we're not sad. It doesn't mean that we don't get attached. But I think it gives us this additional perspective where we're okay, we're at peace no matter what's happening, and then we're able to be more at choice in the matter of the things that come up, and able to remind other people too that it's all okay. All the stuff that's going on in the news, all this stuff, it's all just a blip. There's a bigger story unfolding. And when we talk about dreams, in some way, often the conversation moves towards in a way like this, to where we talk about death and dying, because in some way we're piercing the veil between who we think we are as these ordinary beings shuffling along, doing these same in, same out, same things, the creature of habit things that we do in our daily lives. But dreams and a death experience open us up to remember that, oh, right, I am connected to the universe.
And there is a lot of love out there. There's a lot of beauty out there. There's a lot of joy out there. Maybe I should take in some of that and bring it into my life.
Right, right. And I think the, you know, so far, and again, I'm still trying to decipher all of this and analyze this and let it play out as it will.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, but, you know, one of the things as those who have passed in my life, so I can tell everybody this, so having this experience, is that I am conscious that when I feel that they are around me, I know it. I sense it. Yeah. So I have this clarity in my mind. For instance, when Harry's around, and I think he is right now. It's like, hi Harry, how you doing? It's cool. It's all right. Yeah.
Wow.
We're on fleek. Yes. All good.
How cool.
Yes.
How cool. This is a way to make the ordinary things not so ordinary. Like there's this extra level of love and beauty that you can step into that can put an extra spring in your step and give you more calm and peace where you might otherwise be stressed and worried. You're cool. You're good.
Yeah, so I guess that would be my message to everybody. I mean, you know, and I think there's probably thousands of people listening who have experienced this and you know, it's very interesting to talk to someone like you, Kelly, who has you hear people's dreams all the time. And I guess it's a little different for everybody who has these near-death experiences. But
I love talking to you about this, too. I feel like it, you know, I think this is a wonderful use of this beautiful platform you have. These are things that all of us humans have in common. You know, we all dream, we all sleep, we all wake up, and we all have to deal with the, you know, people that we love passing on, and at some point we'll come to terms with our own passing away. And how wonderful to have some awareness of this so that it's not just this scary terror when really it could be like, I don't know, it's like we're going into another realm. It's like going into another room in the mansion that we haven't been into yet, but it's a beautiful room and we can't wait till we get there. And yet we're not in a hurry to get there because where we're at is we're supposed to be here now, and we want to make the best of it, but we can do it without fear of what's around the corner.
Kelly Sullivan Walden, thank you so much for talking to us tonight. You're fantastic,
you,
as always. I love you, too. So next time you're in San Francisco, please come visit the studio, okay?
I will stalk you. I definitely will.
I love it. All right. Thank you, and Happy New Year. Once again, it's KellySullivanWalden.com. You can find her information at KGO.com, KGOradio.com, rather, or join us at Generation Drex. And we'll continue with the Late Night Late Show wrap-up coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.